Acts chapter 18. Acts 18, we've been preaching through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And those are recorded for us in Acts, the book of Acts. In chapter 13, he and Barnabas were sent out from the church at Antioch on their first missionary journey. And then two others succeeded along with a trip to Rome toward the end of his life. We've been preaching through these missionary journeys. We're on missionary journey number two. We're toward the end of it. In fact, this is the last major stop for the Apostle Paul on mission. Well, I guess one more there on missionary journey number two. Now, we're going to read this morning in Acts 18. You find your place. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. I'm going to read verse number 1, and then I'm going to drop down and read verses 7 through 10. So would you please join me on verses 8 and 10 when I get there, and we call that responsive reading. I'll read verse number 1, and then we'll drop down to verse 7 through 10. Please join me on verses 8 and 10. Our Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, that's where we were last Sunday, and came to Corinth. Drop down to verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Dear Lord, I thank you for your book. I thank you that we're able to read it today publicly and the blessing it is just to read it in the services. Now, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll come in great power and bless the preaching of it. I pray that our hearts and minds be ready to receive it. Lord, this is not a performance. This is not a show. This is ministry. And I pray that your Spirit will minister to our heart in the next several minutes. May we get something that will help us live for Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. In your name we ask it. Amen. Be seated. We'll have the special.
If each morning as you face the day of living, all the problems that then tall make hope seem dead, take each one and turn it over to the Master. You need nothing more through all the days in Him. Nothing more than Him. Nothing more than Him. He is all sufficient for the emptiness within. Let Him have unanswered questions, open eyes the blind have been. You need nothing. Really nothing, you need nothing more than Him. All too often we hold dear what this world offers. Men of means enjoy are heavy and esteemed.
Count the blessings that are yours because of Jesus. You need nothing more to satisfy than Him.
Nothing more than Him. Nothing more than Him. He is all sufficient for the emptiness within. Let Him have unanswered questions open.
You need nothing, really nothing. You need nothing more than Him. It is better to have a little and be godly than to own the wealth possessed by evil men.
For the strength of all the wicked shall be broken.
Caleb and Emily, that was a good song for our hearts this morning. Good. Acts chapter 18 is our text today. We'll be right here in this passage that we read. So keep your Bible open there because I want to point out some things to you specifically in verses 9 and 10 as we get into the message this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject corralled in Corinth. Corralled in Corinth. That's where our text is. That's where our lesson is from this morning, from the city of Corinth. Thank you, dear Father, that everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. How true that song is they just sang. We need nothing more than Him now. We'll need nothing more than Jesus on Judgment Day. That's all we need to enter the pearly city. Lord Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of our Savior. Thank you for making it so simple. Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. And that's all we need, our faith in Him. Thank you, that's all we need. Help me now, dear Holy Spirit. I need your help. I need your power. As we preach this message, may our hearts be attentive, may our minds be receptive, and may we have freedom in this service to worship and praise you. We'll thank you now in Christ's name and amen. Paul left behind the intellectualism and unbelief that he encountered in Athens, and he traveled to the city of Corinth. I'm not going to say any more about the city of Corinth than this. It was on the coast and was positioned in such a way that made it commercially and militarily important. So it was a very significant city in its day. Because it was a significant city in its day, it had a lot of opportunities. Along with the opportunities comes the downside. Along with the crowd and the people and the opportunities there for commercialism and so forth, commerce, there was the vice and the sin and the wickedness that filled the city. It was quite an interesting city. As his custom was, Paul headed for the synagogue. And when he got there, the Bible says he preached the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Same thing he always had done. He never varied. He just did what he always had done. And as usual, the Jewish people in Corinth resented the preaching on Jesus. Look at verse number 6 in your Bible. The Bible says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Paul officially turned to the Gentiles right here in the city of Corinth. He basically said, you know what? You Jewish unbelievers, I'm done. You're not receptive to the message of Christ. You oppose it. You blaspheme Jesus. I'm going to give my attention to the Gentile people. Now, folks, everywhere Paul went, there was either revival or riot or a little bit of both. And in Corinth, you had a little bit of both going on. You had some riot, but you had some revival. Look at verse number 8 here in this chapter. Look what the Bible says. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. Now, that's quite something. The chief Jewish ruler of the synagogue got saved. Amen. That's big time, folks. Then look at this. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So you had some revival going on, but you also had some riot. You had a crowd that was vehemently opposed to the Apostle Paul, blaspheming Jesus Christ. They wanted nothing to do with his ministry. So you had revival, you had riot. Now, I am sure that Paul was contemplating, should I leave? Should I stay? Should I stay here in Corinth and go through all this? Should I leave and go on to the next city? Now, Paul wasn't a sissy. He wasn't a scaredy cat. He wasn't a weak-kneed man. You can read his life, read about his life, and you'll understand. Paul's not a sissy. He wasn't afraid to take a challenge on. He wasn't afraid of confrontation. But there were times in his ministry when God said, don't stay here. Leave. Move on. They're not receptive. They're going to try to kill you. Get out of the area. There were times that God did that to Paul. But this time would be different. God was not going to tell Paul to leave the city of Corinth. In fact, something just the opposite happened in verses 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You could circle verses 9 and 10 in your Bible, and you could put out to the side, corralled in Corinth. Through this vision, God kept Paul in Corinth for 18 months, for a year and a half. Now, Paul didn't stay in most places that long. He'd go in, he'd preach, he'd get people saved, he'd baptize the converts, organize them into a church, go on to the next location, preach, get people saved, baptize the converts, organize them into a congregation, go on to the next place. But Paul stayed here in the city of Corinth, the chapter tells us later, for 18 months, one of his longest stops on his missionary journey. God had something in mind for Paul, now don't miss this, relative to the city of Corinth. He had something in mind for Paul relative to the city of Corinth. And I want to say to us this morning that God has something in mind for us relative to the place we live. He has something in mind for us relative to the city of Bourbonnais. He has something in mind for us relative to the city of Bradley. He has something in mind for us relative to the city of Kankakee, the cities of Moments and Manteno, where you live, excuse me, where the tentacles of this church membership reaches. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's quite a distance. You add it up sometimes. The tentacles of this church ministry reach down to Sheldon. The tentacles of this church ministry reach to St. Anne. They reach to Custer Park. They reach up the road. They reach off to the east, across the state line into Indiana. They reach across the west over here. The tentacles of this church membership reach for a good, long area. Now, folks, listen to me very carefully. We are not where we are by accident. We are not living there a purposeless life, spiritually speaking. God had a purpose for Paul relative to Corinth. And God has a purpose for you and for me relative to where we live. And he revealed this to Paul in this vision. I want to show you three things about this vision that kept Paul corralled in Corinth. First of all, I already said it, God's purpose for Paul. Look at God's purpose for Paul in chapter 18, verse number 9. Look what God told him. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Now, in those words, speak and hold not thy peace, you have God's purpose for Paul. It seems to be almost a double command. Speak and keep on speaking. Speak and don't grow tired of speaking. Speak and don't get away from speaking. Speak and don't grow weary of speaking. Keep speaking. Speak and keep on speaking. Now you say, what did God intend for Paul to keep speaking about? That which he'd already been talking about, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was God's purpose for Paul. You keep telling people that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for their salvation. You keep telling people in public places, house to house, privately, person to person, in the church, in the synagogue. You keep telling people Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And Paul don't grow weary of it. And Paul, don't grow tired of it. And don't get away from it. Don't get involved in other things ministry related that take you away from this. You speak and you keep on speaking. Don't hold your tongue when it comes to the gospel. Keep getting the message of salvation out. That is still God's purpose today. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Bradley, Illinois, Bourbonnais, Illinois, Manteno, Moments, Kankakee need the message of salvation as much today as Corinth did in Paul's day. Maybe more. maybe more. Let me ask you a question this morning. That's where you and I come in. I didn't ask you a question. I will in just a minute. Let me make a statement. That's where you and I come in. Now let me ask you a question. Where else is Bradley, Bourbonnais, Kankakee, Moments, Manteno, St. Anne, all these towns that our membership lives in, where else will they get the gospel message? From the mayor's office? Anybody seen the indications out of the mayor's office recently that they're encouraging people to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation? I haven't seen that lately. How about out of the Chamber of Commerce? Anybody seen any indication out of the Chamber of Commerce that they're going to start a new drive to get people to turn to faith in Jesus Christ, preaching and teaching that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and that's the only way to heaven? The way to heaven is not through baptism. It's not through some communion. It's not through some ritual that you go through physically. It's through faith in Jesus. Anybody seen that coming out of the Chamber of Commerce lately? I have seen that out of the Chamber of Commerce. Anybody seen that message being trumpeted by the police department? Anybody seen that blazoned on the side of the police cars? Jesus saves. Seen that on the police car in town lately? Huh? I haven't seen that lately. How about the Lions clubs? How are they doing on getting the message out? How is the Elks club doing on getting the message of salvation out? They're not getting the message of salvation out. How about the community school system in Bradley and Kankakee and Bourbonnais? Are they getting the message of Jesus Christ out? No, they encourage the message of Muhammad and Allah from the Koran, but they discourage the message of Jesus Christ, God, from the Bible. You can say amen. Hey, folks, we don't need to grow intimidated by a godless society. They don't trumpet the message of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Doyce this week. So he said, you still go to that church on Armor Road? And Doyce said, sure. And he said, man, did you see the sign that was out there this week about Israel? I said, man, that's kind of controversial. Doyce said, I like it. We will not, by the grace of God, not grow intimidated by the godless society around us to be a trumpet for truth. I'm sorry, but the message of Christ is not being promoted by the community school system. Talked about that last week. How about the small and large businesses in the area? Well, there might be a little business here or there that talks about Jesus Christ and has signs up on the wall, you know, about Jesus and so forth. How about the Parks and Recreation Department or the Daily Journal? Anybody see a section in the Daily Journal this past month that encouraged people in the city, the Tri-City area and beyond, to get saved? Folks, there is no encouragement to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation from any of those places. You name, and by the way, I'll go a step further, and I'm not being ugly, but how many churches do you know of in this area getting that message out? How many do you know? You say, well, I see these guys in white shirts and black pants and white ties, and they're carrying boxes. They're Mormons. That's not the gospel. How about the Jehovah's Witnesses? I see them out. They're not preaching the gospel. They don't even believe in a literal hell. If there's no hell, why do you need to be saved? Denominational churches? I'm not being ugly. They deny that Jesus bodily rose from the grave. They deny that Jesus' death atoned for man's sin. You think their message is going to turn folks to Christ? Now, folks, we've just about narrowed it down. What's left? If Bourbonnais, if Bradley, if Kankakee, if St. Anne, if Papineau, if Moments, if Manteno, if Custer Park, if where you live, where I live, is going to hear the message of Christ, who are they going to hear it from? They're going to hear it from us. That's one of the reasons why God has us here. Speak and keep on speaking. Speak and keep on speaking. Hold not your peace. That's why the soul-winning ministries of this church are so important. Don't you grow weary of the bus ministry. Don't grow weary of the expense of the bus ministry. Don't grow weary of the little smudge marks on the walls or the mess on the floor after Sunday school is over. Don't grow weary of that, because the bus ministry is a tool to get the message of Christ out to the people in this area. Don't grow tired of that. You say, how long can we stay in it at $3.19 a gallon? As long as God provides. And if we have to cut less productive things to keep the bus ministry rolling, we will. That doesn't mean we're going to throw common sense to the wind. I understand if we have $3.20 a gallon, maybe there are cases where you got to say, you know what, we're going to have to pull back from this area or pull back out of here. But you don't quit the bus ministry, especially in areas close to your church. It's still a tremendous tool to reach out to people and get them saved, especially to boys and girls and teenagers whose moms and dads will not bring them to church. Amen. Don't grow weary of that. Don't grow tired of that. It's a soul-winning too, the SWAT ministry. Soul-winning at alternate times, the Tuesday and Saturday. Soul-winning times, the nursing homes, the mentally handicapped, the Spanish and the youth. All of these, plus other things, the radio broadcast. All of these are important for us to speak and hold not our peace. Speak and keep on speaking. There's got to be, there must be, there has to be, there needs to be a voice that's saying, turn to Jesus Christ in this area. It's got to be. I'm not saying we're the only one. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's why we got to keep on this business. We got to, this is God's purpose for us. Keep it going. Keep it going. We organize these soul winning opportunities. We pray and we ask, when we say, Lord, help people to get involved, and we encourage you to get involved in some soul winning opportunity, and thank the Lord for the slight increase. And listen, folks, it's not so we can report a number of people going out to some publication or some place that gathers statistics. Over 16 years we've been here now. We don't turn in numbers and figures and reports. That's not what this place is all about. That's not why we encourage folks to get involved. It's because our city needs Christ. Our city needs the message of salvation. And I ask you again, who else is going to take it to them? Who else is going to take it to them? Has anybody had your door knocked on by somebody who had the truth and gave you a gospel tract and said, can I talk to you about Jesus Christ? Has anybody had that happen? Would you raise your hand? A few of you did. Okay, and you folks, because of this church. Sean, you were over in Indiana. Somebody came by your house. Carol, in Oak Forest or what? Oh, in Mantino? Vent. Tom Bent, sure, he was a witness, no doubt about it. Now, some of you folks have lived in this area all your life. Some of you folks have lived in this area for 40 years. Nobody's knocked on your door to attempt to witness to you, even though you're saved. So you tell me, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? If we don't get out there with the message of Christ, how is it going to happen? It's got to come, got to go through us. Are you with me this morning, huh? I mean, everybody, are you stunned? Are you quiet? Or what are you? The city needs Christ. The community still needs Christ. Far more than we need new parks and recreations and school buildings. We need Jesus Christ. I was seeing in my tax bill X amount of dollars for getting the message of salvation out. How's it going to go out? It's going to go out through God's people who speak and keep on speaking. Look, one of the reasons God came to Paul to encourage him in the matter of witnessing was because Corinth needed the gospel. Another reason Paul was encouraged to keep on speaking was because, and this is it, this is helpful to me, Paul experienced some fear in this matter. He experienced some fear. The first words that God said to him, be not afraid. Now, he was afraid maybe because his life was in danger, and maybe he was a little gun shy after being turned away and rejected in Athens and being rejected by the Jews here in Corinth. His own testimony was this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 3. Listen, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul said, when I was with you, when I was in Corinth, I was there in weakness and fear and much trembling. Paul admitted to being fearful about preaching the gospel message. That's why the first words God spoke to him were, be not afraid. I really believe that the number one reason people don't get involved in witnessing for Jesus is apathy. We just don't care. There are too many things in this life grabbing for our attention. We lose care. That's number one. I believe number two, the second reason may be that we don't love the Lord like we should. Do you know it's pretty hard to stay quiet about someone you love? Do you know, on the other hand, it's pretty easy to talk about someone you love? It's pretty easy to talk about something you love. That's why it's easy for some of you guys to talk about sports. Some of us guys to talk about sports. That's why it's easy for me to talk about hunting. I love hunting. I was out visiting yesterday, and I stopped at a farmhouse, and I just for the express purpose, I said, I guess I'm carnal. I stopped at the express. I didn't stop to give them a track. I didn't stop to invite them to church. I stopped to see if I could go hunting on their land. That's what I stopped for. It's easy for me to talk about it. I love it. How easy for you to talk about your children? How easy is that? When you get together with people, you enjoy talking about your kids? My wife says, it's easy to have an amiable conversation with any person. You just bring up their children. And you start talking to them amiably about their kids, man. People, why? Because they love their children. They love to talk about them. About our kids. We love that. That's why some of you enjoy talking about NASCAR. I don't know what's so... I never have figured that out. I'm from the South, but I just can't get into it. Drive fast, turn left. That's all there is to it. Amen? I know there's more than that. I know. Bump the guy in front of you, right? Hey, whatever. But that's why some people can talk about NASCAR. They're into it. Maybe if we love the Lord like we ought to, we wouldn't have a hard time talking about it. But let me say this. I think one of the other reasons that people have a hard time talking about Jesus Christ is fear. Fearful. Now, the old cat gets your tongue. None. I mean, we can talk about all this other stuff, but bring up Jesus and it's like, you get a lockjaw. There's a fear that grips your heart. Just something there. Can I give you a little encouragement this morning? The Apostle Paul was that way. He was fearful at times to open his mouth to speak about Jesus Christ. We're afraid of what people might think. We're afraid of people, of what people might say. We're afraid of what people might do. Fear is a big factor in our getting the message out about Christ. But listen to me, folks. There are neighbors, there are co-workers, there are friends, there are even relatives who need the message of salvation. But we all, every one of us, we must overcome this matter of fear in order to get the gospel to them. And God can help you overcome the matter of fear. He will do that. That's the second part of the message. Are you fearful like the Apostle Paul? God's purpose for Paul. You see, speak and hold not thy peace. And then in verse number 10, you got God's promise to Paul. And this is what helps you with the fear thing. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Do you see God's promise to Paul? I am with you. You speak and keep on speaking, and when you do, I will be with you. I'll accompany you. What a great promise. God has a special offer of His presence to go with us when we're seeking to witness. Now look at me. I know that God lives in my body because I'm saved. The Holy Spirit indwells me. I understand that. When I go to the deer stand, I believe that the Holy Spirit goes with me. And I'm glad He does. Because, man, you get on that thing, you start talking to Him. Bring that deer by here today. You start talking to the Holy Spirit. But listen to me. I don't believe God's special promise of His presence in a unique and distinct way goes with me to the deer stand. But yesterday, Tuesday night, when I was out talking to people about Jesus Christ, I believe God's unique promise of His presence was with me. And it will be with you too. A special, unique, distinct promise that God made to Paul here. He said, Paul, you speak and keep on speaking. And when you go to open your mouth about Jesus Christ, I will be with you. Who better to be with us talking about Jesus than the presence of God Almighty? You see, friend, God is very interested in our involvement in getting the gospel out. By the way, let me say this. Don't make the mistake of thinking, you know, well, man, I give money to missions so that missionaries, you see these boards out here now, these missionaries can take the gospel. And when the plate went by a little while ago, I put some money in there so that so-and-so could preach the gospel in this place and so-and-so could preach the gospel in that place. And that's how I do my witnessing, through the money I give to missions. That's a good thing, but don't ever think that giving to missions absolves us from the responsibility to speak for Christ ourselves. Are you listening? God promised to go with Paul. Paul, you go witness for my son Jesus and I'll go with you. You go speak the message of Christ and I'll go with you. And friend, every time you set out to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ, when you start down a street on Tuesday morning, ladies, when you start down a street on Tuesday night, fellas, when you start down your area, those of you that meet with somebody during the week and you go, be it West Kankakee or wherever, when you start down a street, you realize God promised to be with you. When you take a handful of tracts and you get ready to hand them out, God promised to be with you. When you make an appointment to talk to a friend or a coworker, look, let's meet for lunch tomorrow, and on the lunch break, I'll tell you about Jesus. When you promise to do that, God has promised to be with you. When you walk over to your neighbor's house or across the street and you take a tray of brownies or whatever and you invite them to church, you're trying to talk to them about Christ. God has promised to be with you. And by the way, when God goes with you, His power goes too. When God goes with you, all He is goes with you. That's His promise. A special promise of His presence to every person that will speak and keep on speaking for Jesus Christ. God's promised it. His presence. You see God's purpose for Paul. You see God's promise to Paul. And I want to finish in verse number 10 on this subject this morning because I love this. To me, this wraps up the whole thing here. Is verse number 10, God's people around Paul. God's people around Paul. Look at what he said. He said, "For I have much people in this city." This blesses me. Man. You know what God told Paul? You know what He told him? He said, "Paul, I got people who belong to me all around you." Where are they? Oh, you can't see them. You can't see them. And if you look at them and listen to them, you think, oh, they'd never be interested in Christ. But Paul, what you don't know is I'm working on their heart. I'm stirring their heart. I'm working on their heart. I'm stirring their heart. I'm drawing them to Jesus Christ. I'm arranging things and coordinating things in their life. There are people all around you, Paul, that belong to me. They haven't come to my son Jesus Christ yet, but they belong to me. They are my people. I am drawing them. I am bringing them in, Paul. You don't know who they are. You don't know what their names are, but they are all around you. And this is what we must understand, folks. God is at work in the hearts of people in this area. He's at work. We cannot always see it. But we've got to keep our eyes focused on the truth of this book. We cannot let the malaise and the apathy and the no care of this generation of Christianity grip us. We must keep it in our minds and our hearts. God is working on people in this area to bring them to salvation. Still important to God. Still important to God. And in this area, God is working on hearts. We can't always see it, but He is. He is drawing people. He has people He's working on. We don't know who they are, but He organizes and arranges and set things in motion to bring us into contact with these people. You see, God is interested in people. He's not interested in the stock market. He's not interested in Wall Street. He's not interested in the price of gold per ounce. God is interested in the eternal destiny of people. That's what God's interested in. We got to get back in the fight. It is deathly quiet in this auditorium this morning. Deathly quiet in here. Absolutely. It's frozen. Somebody, and I don't know if it's just a dead Sunday. You have those from time to time. Or if it's we're just stunned because, brother, the majority of the church is not involved in getting the message of Christ out. And that's God's purpose for us being here. Our cities need Jesus Christ. Why God has us here. God's promised that He'll still go with us. And I tell you, I'm gritting my teeth and I'm going to fight tooth and nail against the covenant theology and the hyper-Calvinism that says God has chosen some people to go to hell and chosen some people to go to heaven. I don't believe this Bible teaches that. I will not give in to that. I don't care who espouses it. I don't care who writes about it in their publications. I have a whosoever will gospel to preach. I'm going to say something else too. Even if He did choose some to hell and some to heaven, you and I don't know who they are. And the command is still the same to get the gospel to every creature. My grandmother was a diehard hyper-Calvinist. And a tremendous soul winner. How do you marry those two together? You know how I married those two together? I said, Mimo, if you are so hyper-Calvinist that you believe God has elected some to heaven and some to hell, then why do you pass out tracts and why do you witness like you do on the job at the federal courthouse? Judge Daniel Duke's secretary. What a place. Those people charged with things would come in there and sit in her office and have to wait for the judge's chamber to be open. She had a closed captive audience right there. You know what she told me? She said, because Terry, I don't know who is elected to heaven and who's elected to hell. And the command of God is still the same to get the gospel to every creature. So I guess that strips away every excuse. Huh? Amen. I mean, we ought to have at Faith Baptist Church, we ought to have always a generation, an age group of people growing up through our school, growing up through our homes, who see the need to witness, who don't drop out of witnessing opportunities, don't drop out of soul winning opportunities, don't drop out of visitation opportunities, but stay in it. Gotta have it. We've got to stay on the cutting edge of God's purpose for us being here. Speak and keep on speaking about Jesus Christ. I'm still convinced God has people all around us. There's a man in this church this morning. He is saved, and now his wife is saved, and his family is attending church here because Steve Hallberg spoke about Jesus Christ on the job. Excuse me, how long has Steve been gone to Elgin? Steve has been in Elgin before we moved into this building. Steve moved to Elgin, I guess, back in 2000, I believe it was. This man and his wife recently got saved, but it goes back to when he worked with Steve Hallberg at this certain place of work, and Steve would talk about the Lord. If you ask Steve Hallberg, did you know that God had a person in that group there that was going to get saved? Did you know that, Steve? He would say no. But he was faithful to speak about Jesus. He was faithful. Faithful to speak about Jesus. I think this man sitting right down here on the front row. Work over here at ComEd. Nuclear energy. Because Joe Griffin talked about Jesus at work. I'm sure Joe didn't know that God had Mike Johnson's number. when he started talking about Jesus in front of Mike. Now, this man's been an inner circle part of this church for years now. Amen. They're all around us, folks. And I could go around this room. There's a family sitting over here. God worked on the hearts and brought them. They were around us. If we'd have seen them years ago, we'd have said, nah. Then they'd be part of God's family. But they are. They're saved because God worked on the heart and worked on the heart and worked on the heart. And there's people all around us like this. People all around us. Who would have ever have guessed some years ago, a great big burly old black fella in Moments. If you'd have seen William Bibbs, you'd have said never in your life. If you'd have seen Harold Horman, you'd have said never in your life. But what we can't see is what God is doing in the heart. God has people all around us that He's working on. He's drawing to Christ, and all they need is a little bit of encouragement or a constant faithful witness from somebody who's saved. Just speaking and speaking about Jesus and giving them a gospel tract. Man, I'm still working on my neighbors. They've not come to Christ yet, but I really believe that the Spirit of God is working on one of them's heart. I really believe. I believe that with all of my heart. Three or four Fridays ago, they were in a mess. They had hay down on the ground and the rain was coming. They called and said, Luke, can you bale hay? So Luke went up and down. I got home on a Friday. I'd been somewhere. I got home on a Friday. And Ben was at home. That's when Ben and Ashley were here. And they said, they have hay on the ground and the rain is coming. And so, man, I said, Ben, let's go. So we went up there. We put on our work clothes, you know. I can't drive a tractor. I don't know how to plow. I don't know how to cultivate. I don't know how to drive a combine. But bless God, I can throw bales of straw and hay. Amen. I can do that. I can throw some hay. They were heavy bales. We showed up there, you know. Say 1:15, they're going to start. We showed up there about 10 after 1. Here came the farmers out of the house. One in particular showed up, came driving in his pickup truck. The guy won't even say which one it is. He closed his car door and said, man, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel today, aren't we? I said, yes, sir. Emergency, amen. We laughed. I was out for an early morning walk Monday this week, or Tuesday. I forget which day it was, Monday or Tuesday. And boy, there had been no traffic, and I was just having a good prayer time and enjoying that walk. All of a sudden, I heard the tires, heard a vehicle coming, and I heard the car coming, a vehicle down the road, and it was this particular farmer. He rolled down his window, and he said, man, I want to apologize to you. I said, what for? He said, when you showed up to bale hay, he said, I called you the bottom of the barrel. He said, what I should have said was the cream of the crop. I said, yeah, but if you had said that, you'd have been lying. Amen? You were far more honest by saying the bottom of the barrel was here. Huh? He said, I don't want to talk to you that way. I said, oh, come on, man. He said, by the way, what do I call you? Reverend? Oh, please, don't call me Reverend. I am not a reverend. Reverends are polished. I am not that. I'm a redneck. I've been saved by the grace of God. I said, call me Terry. I'm your neighbor. Huh? He laughed. I really believe God is working. Folks, we got to get our eyes open. There's people around us God has. He's drawing them. He's wheeling them in. And we are the tool that He's going to use like a carpenter would use a hammer or a wrench. Reach down and help bring them to Christ. I beg you, get your eyes open. Realize that there's people around. God's purpose for Paul was to speak and hold not thy peace. God's promise to Paul was, I will be with thee.
said, God, and Paul said, and God said, Paul, I got people all around you. All around you. You just speak and keep on speaking. Let me encourage you, man. Lady, young person, this is God's purpose for us. Not to just meet inside the four walls of this building and just have a good old time. But I mean, take the message of salvation to a world that's going to go to hell someday if they don't get saved. That's God's purpose for us. We have His promise. There are people out there that will respond. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. With no one looking at me, ask two or three questions. Now, who's here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? There's a good testimony of that this morning. You're not ashamed of that. Well, amen. I appreciate that. Good sight. Thank you. Who's here would say, Brother Angel, I am not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that. You talk about people needing Christ. I'm not even sure what that means. I'm not born again. I'm not sure. I'm on my way to heaven. Please pray for me. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand? Not sure that you're saved. God bless you. I appreciate that. Somebody else. I say, I need another hand. God bless you. A couple of folks. Thank you. Take your hands down. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. Let me just speak for a moment here with no one looking. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed to those who had their hands raised just now. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you look at me just for a moment, please? Thank you. God bless you. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're on your way to heaven. I found that out 30 years ago in a church service, how to be saved. We have some ladies here that have a Bible right here. When nobody's looking, why don't you come and let them show you how to be saved this morning? Would you just step out the aisle there? That's right. God bless you, lady. Amen. And the girl. I need a couple of Beth and Glenda both, please, this morning. Thank you. God bless you. And they'll just sit right here and share the gospel with you. Or one can talk to both. Doesn't matter. Or they can spit up. Clean up. That's wonderful. God bless you. Would it be anybody else, Pastor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I don't know where I'm going. Pray for me. Anybody else like that? Anybody else? Your heart, God is working on your heart to bring you to Christ. Maybe somebody's here today, you've been saved but never baptized since you've been saved. You've not followed the Lord and believers' baptism. That's the first step. That'll help you get settled. It'll help you get grounded. It'll help you get stable for your Christian life. Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you and you and you and you. If you're here this morning and you want to follow the Lord and believers' baptism and you're an adult, we've talked to you about it, or you're a child and you have parents' permission, why don't you come right now and we'll show you about being baptized or talk to you about it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. Maybe you need one of us to come by the house and talk to you about it. We'll be happy to do that. In just a minute, when we give the invitation, you could come and give your name and address to Brother Caleb or one of the ladies here. Take it. We'll come by and talk to you about following the Lord and believers' baptism. Anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. No. I've been saved, but not baptized. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. If you're saved, baptized, and you know this is the place that you want to unite and join the church and be a part of it, then you've met with myself or Brother Caleb, then amen. We want to have you come this morning at the invitation time. Now, Christian, let me talk to us just a minute. Those of us that are saved here this morning. You know, I never have preached and I never will preach that soul winning is the only thing in the Christian life. I believe being a good husband or wife, as the case may be, is important. I believe being a good parent is important, being a good child. I believe being a good student is important. I believe taking care of your money is important. I believe everything is important in the Christian life. Soul winning is one of those main things. Pastor, I've not been involved. I was. I quit. I've not been. I've never been. Pray for me. I'll overcome whatever I need to overcome to get involved in this business of witnessing for Christ. Just pray for me. I want to be faithful in this. Would you raise your hand, please? I see many hands this morning. And I appreciate that. God bless you. Amen. Take your hand down. I'm going to pray now. Dear Father, thank you for these that have come this morning about salvation. I pray that the message of salvation, the truth of Christ, will be open to the heart and the mind, and that by simple faith, they'd be born again into God's family today. Thank you for these that have been saved and going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism this morning. God, thank you for these that raised a hand right now and said, you know what, by the grace of God, I want to overcome whatever I want to need to overcome, to be a witness for you. So God, help us, I pray. Lord, help us to see our purpose in this city. Please help us to see it. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.